Dan, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me this morning.
It's good to have you here. So one of the cool things for those of you listening is that Dan and I live in the same town out in Colorado Springs. And we have the blessing of being able to sit on my deck right now, look at the mountains, hang out on a beautiful sunny day, and talk leadership and military stuff and goal setting and all that good stuff. We met through a mutual friend, online over a year ago. Ended up connecting a couple times for coffee. And bottom line is, I thought you'd be an awesome guest for the people listening to this, in particular the veterans that are contractors that are out there. And so I got obviously a list of questions and things I want to get to, but why don't you kick off and give us a little who's Dan segment here.
Yeah, so Dan Dwyer is a father, a husband, a veteran, a entrepreneur, a coach, a public speaker. I was fortunate enough to wear the Army uniform for 22 years and retired. I transitioned because I was well too young to retire 10 years ago, and started my own organization called Coach to Perform, where I focused on coaching leaders and managers and organizations on leadership development, management development, performance improvement in the workplace. And then most recently, I've started a new initiative. Much like you have rescoped your efforts here. Yep. With the contractor fight. You know, a previous conversation that we had kind of served as a great kickstarter for me in terms of looking at, who my audience really is, or who my desired audience is. You know, we're at a season in life today where we should follow our passions, but do it smartly and using military lexicon, not be all over the map, right?
So, absolutely.
So I recently started Vetrepreneur Life, and Vetrepreneur Life is a dedication to the boots to business advancement of veteran entrepreneurs. And I'm focused on those who are experiencing some successes but also challenges. And the goal with this effort is to of course blog like I have in the past on leadership, management, performance, development related topics, but also to begin a podcast, much like your own. And the purpose of that podcast, of course, is to tell and sell the stories of those veteran entrepreneurs who are who have transitioned out of the military, much like you and I, but yet they want to be the man or woman that they work for, and they're certainly equipped to do so. But sell and tell their stories so that others can learn from their experiences.
Awesome.
You know, this business of entrepreneurship shouldn't all be discovery learning.
And they need help.
Absolutely.
Because I remember when I got out of the Marines and then I started my business, one of my first moments of conflict that I had with an employee of mine, I threatened to throw him out a window. And so I needed a little debriefing.
Right.
And so what would you... Real, let's back up to your 22 years in the Army. What'd you do?
So I was an armored cavalry officer.
Okay.
And my passion for leadership was largely developed by having working for great leaders.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not happenstance. You don't just stay in the military for 22 years without having served and worked with great leaders. But the subject of leadership and management is always something that interests me, even as since my teens. It was a area of study that I pursued in graduate school as well, and did very well at it.
So what would you say the if you I'm totally putting you on the
yeah,
spot
absolutely.
Out of the gate here, if you could label one thing as the most important leadership trait of all, Gun to your head, you got to pick one. Yep. What is it?
Today, I think leadership job one is individual development of people, their team. That is probably the single best retention tool that they have in their kit bag. If they're not doing it, then people leave.
Yeah.
I mean, we've sometimes heard, you know, the adage, you know, hey Dan, you know, what happens if we train people and they leave? And right. You know, the simple response is, what if you don't and they stay?
Right.
You know, so
bigger problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, and this is a huge issue in the contractor world, because one of the biggest struggles, number one, is getting people attracted to get into the trades.
Right.
Okay. That's just kind of a well-known thing, and I believe one of the ways that we can attract people into the trades is to teach contractors how to make more money and provide a better life and all those other things. But a very close second is this building a team leadership component of it, because a lot of guys, I mean, I burned through a lot of good people,
right,
as a young business leader, that now, had I had those people, they probably would have stayed, been developed, and would have been a huge asset to the company. But I was too immature in the business sense of leadership and things like that, yeah, and a lot of other ways, to be honest with you, to really know what my role is there. So what do you tell the guy who may have been leading a squad?
Right.
He's leading an infantry squad, right? And, you know, 6-8 months ago, and now he's starting a painting business. Now he's starting a carpentry business. He's out there, and now he's got to hire some people.
Yeah.
You know, he's not part of a big corporation where they have got a big corporate trainer that comes in and spends X amount of time and this and that. But what are some things that that guy can implement that he's probably already knows from being in the military?
Yeah. You know, one of the things I would always tell him is go with what you know.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is, you know, military service may have given him a solid foundation in a variety of fields, you know, from computers and technology to communications, healthcare, operations, engineering. We should always fall back on those skills that we developed over time. Mm-hmm. I will tell you that I think a lot of service members sort of shortchange what they've learned, especially from a leadership and a problem-solving, decision-making standpoint. Nowhere else will you find a better sampling of our society than you will in the military.
That's so true.
You know?
Yeah.
And problem-solving and decision-making becomes almost a, you know, almost an afterthought sometimes, because mm-hmm. It's so experiential. They learn by doing, right? So go with what you know. I think most veterans have a pretty good understanding of their strengths and weaknesses. And if I'm a contractor or a veteran who's transitioning into the contracting world, you do what their leaders always did, and that's surround themselves with people that can offset, you know, mm-hmm. some of their strengths and weaknesses. Good leaders are self-aware. Therefore, if I know what my strengths are, I certainly want to continue to sustain them as a contractor.
Right.
Weaknesses, I want it to develop, but I can also look and surround myself with team members that have that strength.
So one of the things that I know in 22 years, you had to have raised up some leaders, right?
Absolutely.
And they always say that the mark of a really great leader mm-hmm. is how many other leaders did he produce.
That's
and
right.
So what were some of the indicators when you were looking among the ranks of your guys that somebody might have what it takes? What were some things that you would look at? Because I think oftentimes we mistakenly assume like the guy that is the loudest or the guy that's
right.
the fastest or the guy that's this and this and this is going to be quote unquote the leader that you could raise up. And, you know, because what I want to do is I want to help the contractors listening to this spot some of these things among their own crews and things like that. So what are some things that come to mind that are indicators of leadership potential that you might invest in somebody?
Yeah, there's a couple things, and it's a great topic. You know, there's two types of leaders. You know, there's the leaders who lead with their feet and leaders who lead by their seat, right? And I would think, as to be a successful contractor, you've got to be the former, not the latter. Out on the jobs, I think you'll find leaders within your organization that don't have a title mm-hmm. or responsibility. But you can kind of observe and see who the other workers trust,
yep,
and will follow. To be a good leader, you've got to be a great follower.
Yeah,
and most of the leaders that I've developed over time were very good followers, and turned into absolutely great leaders. You know, I think I've shared with you in the past, you know, our true legacy in life are our kids. It's not our job or vocation, but similarly. On the teams that we lead, mm-hmm. you know, in the contracting community, that's our legacy too.
Right.
I talked about individual development being job number one. What I've learned in a lot of organizations, when individual development is missing, succession planning is missing. Mm. And so many leaders have no exit strategy or no strategy
for passing. So, and I hate to interrupt, camp on that a bit,
yeah.
For guys that might not be familiar with the term succession planning.
Yeah, so succession planning is you know, the silver bullet for succession planning is caring, but mm-hmm. The biggest difference between leaders and managers is leaders, if they're not developing their people well and with the intent of sometimes, you know, passing the organization over to the next person,
yeah,
in line.
It or,
absolutely,
you know,
absolutely.
Whatever.
Many of your contractors, you know, some of the work they do is it can be pretty rough on you over time, right?
Right.
A lot of fair wear and tear. There's no reason why your organization can't continue on past you.
Mm-hmm.
You as a leader, you serve in perhaps a different capacity, more of a empowering or advisory leader to a leader that you've developed and trust,
right.
versus somebody that is very, very direct and detailed every day in the workplace, right?
Yep. Yeah, we're not getting any younger, that's for sure.
That's right.
And it's and so you might love to swing the hammer,
yep.
But you got to look at where you're going to have the biggest impact in your organization. And so if we're not raising up leaders, then
yep.
we're in trouble. So,
all right. Check it out. After this podcast episode today, I want you to go immediately to thecontractorfight.com, and you get to do what most people are too afraid to do, and that's own their shit. Meaning, you're going to take ownership for the crap that ain't going the way you want it to go in your contracting business. And the reason you're going to do that is all progress comes from truth. So listen, if you want to declare war on your own BS, on the perception of what the trades are, okay? If you want to declare war on the fact that we've been beat up on price far too long, held hostage by our employees and consumers, too long we've made crap money, personally, not squirreled away money for retirements, lived from check to check, deposit to deposit, okay, too long if those things have been going on, then what you need to do is go to thecontractorfight.com and request access to our private Facebook group. It's free. The only thing it costs you is you got to post something within 24 hours of owning your crap. You do that and you're going to be part of an amazing team of contractors that are leveling up their lives, leveling up their businesses, and doing great things. Head to thecontractorfight.com.
I know one of the things that every time we got together and had coffee, this topic would come up. So I want to make sure that we don't blow it off.
Right.
And that's the topic of goal setting.
Yeah.
All right. You know, I have, what's that saying? When the student is ready, the teacher arrives.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like every year that I'm alive, I learn a little bit more about goal setting. I learn a little bit more about clarity and things like that. So what do you tell the guy? Let's say you got a guy who's who needs to turn some crap around in his business right now. He's not making enough money. He's stressed out. He's, you know, leaving at 6 in the morning, and he's not home till 7 or 7.30 at night, and he spends a half an hour with the family. Then he's up till 11, 12, 1 a.m. Typing up bids and doing paperwork and things like that. What do you tell that guy about maybe clarity and goal setting?
Yeah.
Like, you get the stage right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think most people who are successful at goal setting, one thing they do is they write them down. Research has shown just by writing your goals down and reviewing them frequently, it increases your chances of accomplishing those goals by 42%. There's different techniques of doing that. If you're leading an organization, you have your own leadership goals, personal goals, but you have organizational goals too. Sometimes we can't accomplish all our goals alone, but if we are not fostering a shared vision in our organization, that's the difference between a leader and a manager. Leaders are very good at shared vision. If our people don't understand what the expectations are, what right looks like. Goal setting, of course, we've all heard the acronym SMART.
You know,
goals have to be specified, measurable, aligned or attainable, realistic, and time bound. That's an area where a lot of organizations miss the boat and leaders miss the boat. They don't hold people accountable for achieving goals in a timely manner. So if we don't tie a time to it, but I would submit to you a better acronym is SMARTER. You know, specified, measurable, alignable, attainable, realistic, time bound. But the E is about exciting. I mean, as contractors, the people we lead every day have to be excited about our goals if we're going to accomplish them. They have to be compelling. And they have to be relevant. Relevant to the organization season in life, right? You know, our goals today may be different than our goals tomorrow versus our goals yesterday because high-performing organizations grow, right? So I would recommend that most leaders make their goals small in number at first. The challenge, which you often find, is there's too many goals out there. Therefore, nothing's important, right? And then a new way of retaining quality people is to don't come up with these goals by yourself in a vacuum. Lead collaboratively, right? Bottom up, you know. Between what you think is a good goal for the organization as a leader and then bringing your team members in and getting their input, collaboratively we're going to come up and we're going to accomplish our goals better than if you just, you know, do what I told.
Right.
What you're told.
So tell me a story about, you know, maybe it's a time in your 22 years in the Army, maybe it's since you've been out, where you you did a shitty job of setting a goal and maybe got what you didn't want. You know, does anything come to mind with that? Or
I tell you what, that's a whole subject in itself. I mean, resolutionists, you know, it's towards the end of July, right? And every year only about 8% of people who started New Year's resolutions are actually seeing those through. But what's cool about goals and accomplishing goals and keeping them small in number is that, you know, once you accomplish a goal, you know, throw another one out there for your team. You know, keep challenging them and developing them. But for myself, I mean, we all learn from our failures, memorable failures more so than our successes. There's been several goals that I haven't accomplished. But what I do is I learn from the experience and figure out what right looks like. I would encourage most leaders of organizations, especially contracting organizations or contractors, to use that time between Thanksgiving and New Year's to do some reflection.
You know, that's exactly the time that you and I last summer talked about doing this podcast was during that time because it was timely for that. And it didn't happen because it was my bad. So,
but bring the team together and talk about, you know, this is what we talked about in January. This is what we launched and started out doing for the year. These are the areas where we've met our goals. These are the areas where we didn't.
Yeah.
And then regroup for the next year. Those conversations are really important. Your team members have to be part of those conversations.
So, all right, like you, I have many goals that I have not achieved.
Right.
Okay. When you look back at your past times that you've fallen short of hitting a goal, do you see a common thread as to why?
Yeah. And we kind of talked about this before we started, and the common thread is taking on too much. So a undisciplined pursuit for more instead of a disciplined pursuit for less.
I'd say that again, because that's not a phrase you hear all the
time. So a undisciplined pursuit for more versus a disciplined pursuit for less. It certainly is important for contractors. I mean, the only way you get to more is sometimes doing less very well.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Well,
it reminds me of Georgia Tech. They run the triple option, and they run their dive play like 40% of the time. And, you know, I think in the last year or two, whatever, they set an NCAA record of 700 and something yards in one game of offense. You know what I mean? And they run maybe four plays.
Yeah.
You know, but they run them to perfection. They do them well. They with my football team, we kind of adopt that same mentality. Let's do less things and do them better than the other guy.
That's right.
You know, and hang our hat on that. And so what you're saying is very similar, just saying, first of all, you can't do it all. Can't be all things to all people.
Right.
So you got to pick. You got to have clarity.
Well,
you know.
And I find by learning to say no to people, you create more margin in your life.
Mm.
And I could see how a new contractor, you know, wanting to accomplish everything he can do or she can do, will have a resistance to saying no.
The reality is, I remember when I started my first painting business years ago, I said yes to anyone that would let me put paint on something because I had to eat.
Right.
You know, the dude walking around us right now, filming us, Dakota, was a little baby when I started my business, and you know, I had a wife and a young baby, and so, you know, I want you guys listening to this to understand that Dan and I understand that sometimes you just got to do what you got to do, put food on the table, because that's the ultimate goal,
right?
Is to provide for your family. But there does come a time in your business where, okay, I got enough data behind me to realize what my best jobs are, what I enjoy doing. You know, what can I scale more and some things like that make sense of me narrowing down what my focus might be.
Right.
Does that make kind
Absolutely.
Of, okay.
And as leaders, you know, a couple more things on goal setting. As leaders, what we have to do is we have to be very intentional and purposeful about recognizing the short, small wins, right?
Yeah.
Fostering a culture of recognition in our organization. So, and it's because sometimes we'll accomplish a goal and our team won't even know it.
Right.
Unless we take a pause and recognize people and be very intentional, purposeful, and genuine about it and explain, hey, you know, at the beginning of the year, this was one of our goals. We just achieved it. And I want to thank you, and you. And that, that means more. It also means more so next time when you take them into that process of goal setting, bottom-up driven, they're going to participate more versus – yeah, we've gone through this drill before. I didn't get anything out of it. Therefore, I'm not going to provide you the input you really need. So
if if you could go back, knowing what you know now. Actually, no. Let me change that. What would the Dan of 22 years ago think of the Dan sitting here now?
That's a tough question. The Dan of 22 years ago was so focused on Dan. I mean, and we all go through that season in life, you know. We want to make our mark in our organizations, We want to satisfy the needs of our families and our boys. Whereas today, I'm very comfortable with with what I've accomplished in life, and I want to be more of a servant to others.
Yeah.
Instead of myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. All right, let's flip it. All right. There's a lot of people listening to this that might be younger in their season of business, right?
Right.
Regardless of what their age is.
Yep.
I remember one night I was laying in bed. We had 150 or so dorm rooms to get painted in 3 days. This college shut down, and I remember laying in bed at night. It was literally the only time that my heart had been pounding out of my chest. And like I could almost see it popping up out of my chest. I was so stressed about it. I was a brand new contractor.
Right.
And I was in unfamiliar territory. And I know in the military you had moments where things were hairy, things were unfamiliar, things were stressful. And you were a younger man. And right. you were newer. You didn't have the experience you have now. So what would the Dan of now tell the Dan of then, you know, about how to approach things, maybe?
The Dan of now would tell the Dan of then to focus on what's important.
Okay.
What's important to the contractor in terms of its people, human capital.
Mm-hmm.
What's important versus processes versus technologies. I mean, Lee Iacocca, former CEO of Chrysler, got it down well, and that was that there's three things always in play: people, processes, and technologies. But if you don't take care of the former, you don't get the latter two. So what Dan would tell the Dan of old is focus on what's important to the mission,
mm-hmm.
what's important to the people, and prioritize and manage your time towards those small things that are important. Now, in contracting, I would see that you could take a similar approach. Organizations are always dealing with different skill levels, right? So figure out what you want your organization and your people to master versus what they want to know versus what they understand. So it'll be a small amount of tasks that they master, a greater number of tasks in which they know, and then an even larger number of tasks that they understand, just to create more business and to develop each other, if that makes sense.
It does.
Yeah.
That's good. So how do, if you got a veteran contractor that's listening to this and he's, you know, going, man, I got to have this guy come in and talk to my team or do some leadership coaching for my peoples or for myself or whatever. How do they find you? How do they reach out to you? And we'll put all this in the show notes as well, but take a moment to just tell us how we can get in touch.
Yeah, so I'm not naive to know that many of your audience are former vets.
Yeah.
People who have been members of great teams, have learned a lot about leadership and problem solving, but yet want to now work for themselves. And as I shared with you earlier, that number isn't as high as we thought it was. In World War II in Korea, over 45% of veterans came home and became entrepreneurs. You know, today that's about 5% for whatever reasons. But to contact me, there's a couple ways. Of course, my website is www.vetrepreneurlife.com. I am also on Facebook. Just look up Vetrepreneur Life. Join a group. The group is focused on learning the successes and challenges of other vetrepreneurs. And just come on and share where you're at and what your challenges are. And as a community, we're all about helping each other. I'm also about creating business for others and selling and telling the stories of those in your audience who are veteran entrepreneurs as well. dan@vetrepreneurlife.com is my email address. You can contact me there. Social media that I'm on mostly is Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, mm-hmm. With different goals of each. But if you two were to go to vetrepreneurlife.com today, what I have free to you is an ebook, and the ebook is titled The Vetrepreneur Toolbox. And that toolbox is chock full of over 350 essential resources to improve your business and personal life. It's a fluid document. It's the 2017 edition, but of course, every day we come across better resources, and I'm all about sharing those resources to make you successful.
Well, that's good stuff. And in typical Dan Dwyer fashion, you're prepared. And it doesn't surprise me that you have 300 resources for veterans to level up their businesses and stuff like that. So, well, dude, I appreciate you being here.
My pleasure.
And spending some time with us. I encourage everybody to check out the links in the show notes. Give Dan's site a visit. Hit him up on social media. And this guy knows his stuff when it comes to leading people. And I encourage you to engage and connect and share this with any veteran, entrepreneur, contractor, or not contractor that you know as well. Because, Dan's all about, serving those who've made that boots to business transition regardless of their industry. So, Dan, appreciate it, man. And Travis, actually, why don't you say it? I know you want to say it, right?
Okay. Hey, Travis, bring in the guitars.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Contractor Fight podcast. Listen, let's do yourself a favor and head to thecontractorfight.com and request access to our private Facebook group where you'll join several other men and women who are in the contracting trades that are leveling up their life and their business, who are declaring war on their own BS excuses for why their business isn't where it needs to be. They're declaring war on how we've been beat up on price for too long in our industries. We've been, held hostage by employees and by consumers, live deposit check to deposit check. All right, too long your family has suffered by you not being present mentally or physically because you're dealing with your business that ain't making enough money anyway. And maybe most importantly, you're declaring war on the fact that too long that you felt like you're alone, you're in this fight all by yourself. Well, you're not. Go to thecontractorfight.com. Request access to our private Facebook group, and the fight is on for you, and you're about to turn the ship in a big way. But the first step that you got to take is you got to hit that button and go request access to the group. And then once you're in, watch the welcome video, and it'll tell you the next step. We'll see you guys.